Hi, this is Gavin from FE News, and I'm here to have a coffee, and Jennifer's having a tea and chat around the National Apprenticeship Week and what that means to the sector. So I'm here and got the great pleasure to be joined with Jennifer Copeland from the Institute for Apprenticeships and Technical Education. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Gavin. It's nice to be here.
We're in the middle of National Apprenticeship Week, so why is it important now, more than ever, to be celebrating National Apprenticeship Week?
I think now more than ever, it is the moment for celebrating apprenticeships. I think, you know, as we've all experienced, it's been a really tough old year, you know, 12 months. And National Apprenticeship Week happens every year. It's a great occasion to celebrate the best of apprentices, the best of apprenticeship employers, and the great reforms that we've been pursuing over the last few years. But, you know, you need to have moments where you really kind of draw these things out and celebrate, particularly in times like this. You know, it's been so dreadful for people. And I think, you know, employers, providers and apprentices themselves have been working so hard to kind of keep the program on the road, to think creatively about how we can keep things going so that people who are on the program can finish and carry on with their training and all those sorts of things. So I think now is a great moment to sort of step back from some of the challenges that we've been experiencing over the last wee while and just really celebrate all the great stuff that's out there in the apprenticeship program and the apprentices themselves.
Yeah, very, very much. And I think, you know, you guys have really been doing your part as well, haven't you, with the additional flexibilities that we've seen for apprentices as well. So it's just tough times for everyone at the moment, isn't it? If just employers, apprentices, it's just really unusual times we're in at the moment, really, isn't it? So yeah. It's great to celebrate in lockdown, it being weird, but it is what it is, isn't it, really?
I know. I think, you know, from the Institute's perspective, you know, we don't run every aspect of the apprenticeships program, as you know, but the bits that we are responsible for, we like to think that we've tried really hard to be as creative and flexible and innovative as we can, you know, whilst maintaining the kind of quality in the system. So, you know, right after the first lockdown, you know, we worked with employers and endpoint assessment providers to come up with about 130 different flexibilities so that apprentices could still you know, continue with their training and take their endpoint assessments in a virtual way, you know, whilst we maintain that kind of quality bar. And then obviously now we've got into lockdown three, we've been quite quick, I'd like to think, in coming out and saying, look, we're going to extend those flexibilities towards, you know, into May, and we won't remove those before May, so that we'll give you a few months' notice. So nothing will change until August. And I think that sort of thing, it's a small thing, but, you know, to give people a degree of stability, to know the kind of operating model that they've been working to over the last few months can continue. I think it's one little bit of additional pressure that gets taken away, you know, that they don't need to worry about the Institute changing tack in the middle of everything and then expected to do something different. So that's gone down quite well. So, you know, we were pleased to be sort of influential in that space at least.
Yeah, no, definitely. As you said, it's every little way just to be able to remove those pieces of pressure and to be able to support, you know, employers, providers, apprentices, really, isn't it? It's really, really important. Can we talk about T-levels and higher technical qualifications as well? So, yeah, we're in National Apprenticeship Week. So how will T-levels and higher technical qualifications complement apprenticeships?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So, as you know, the Institute has got responsibility for technical qualifications within T-levels. So we're working with awarding organisations to develop those and to get them into teaching. So we've, despite the pandemic, we've managed to get the first three into teaching on time in September 2020. So that's in digital construction and education childcare. So we're really pleased about that. And then we've got another seven coming on stream in September 2021. We're working very closely with our Trailblazer groups and our employers to make sure that T-levels dock into apprenticeships really successfully where they need to, and to make sure that we've got really clear progression routes for T-level students, either into an apprenticeship or into work or into higher education, because that progression piece, I think, is going to be really important. And similarly on higher technical qualifications, we've now got responsibility for essentially bringing the employer voice to bear on higher technical qualifications. So using the standards that they've already developed, and mapping those qualifications across to see, you know, how well does this meet the knowledge, the skills and the behaviours that employers say they need for those jobs. And all of this is about the learner at the end of the day. It's trying to make sure that, you know, if this higher technical qualification has got that approved stamp, you know, it's been approved by employers through the Institute, that people will know that that is a really high quality qualification, and that is one of the qualifications that's going to lead you into that occupation. It's going to qualify you to do that job. So T levels, HGQs, we're now getting a role in level 3 and below qualifications as well, a similar kind of thing, bringing that employer voice to bear. So it looks like there's all these different bits of the system, but actually what I really want to do is to use this opportunity to build a really coherent all-through system. So you've got apprenticeships and you've got technical qualifications at every level. They're all built off those employer design standards. But there's probably fewer, but the routes through that system is much, much clearer for employers who want to use them and for learners who want to take them. And people can see where those qualifications take them. So people aren't wasting their time undertaking qualifications that are poor quality, or government's not spending money on things that don't have huge value for employers, you know. So there's a long-term game here, Gavin, and it's going to be quite a challenge to deliver over the next few years. But I think, you know, the system pieces are there to enable that to happen, you know. People want this now, I think. You know, we've had this system for far too long, and we've got lots and lots of things that people can choose from, and people can't really work out where the good bits are and so forth. So I think there's a positive wind behind all of this. And I'm quite excited about the future, to be honest.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think you're absolutely right. It's matching also employers' needs, but also it's learners that are investing all that time. They want a progression route, don't they? So I think you're absolutely right that it's the future is looking great. We're in a terrible time at the moment, aren't we, with COVID? But honestly, I really do believe that the sector is that vaccine to the long COVID effect on the economy. And any little changes we can make to better make that better for people, the greater we're going to be able to have that turnaround where the physical vaccine goes into people's arms, where we as the sector can then help people with that longer term effect. So I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's great that we're doing that. We've been through a year of amazing change. And I think, how do you think the sector has responded to the challenges that we've seen, like right now, over the last sort of year? And what would you say to maybe encourage apprentices and their employers that are maybe struggling at this time? Is there any sort of thing you'd like to say to the sector for how they've sort of responded to the crisis?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you cast your mind back to the announcement that we were going into that first lockdown in March, I don't know about you, but there was certainly a sort of period of kind of shock and blinking and getting your head around, oh my goodness, this is really happening. And then I think I think we've all been absolutely amazed at how well the sector has responded to the challenges that have been put in front of them. You know, the overwhelming commitment that I've seen working with providers and employers is trying to keep the system working to the benefit of learners and the benefit of apprentices. People genuinely really care about this stuff, you know, and they've been bending over backwards to try to keep the system going. So, you know, I've got nothing but praise for the people that have been working on the front line in, you know, schools and colleges and higher education institutions and independent training providers and all of those employers of apprentices who have been, you know, trying to work out, you know, how do I continue to train my fantastic apprentices when they're sitting in their living rooms, and we now would have done stuff that we would have done in person is now moving online. But you know, all of those things, it just shows you how, you know, creative and resilient people can be when they need to. I think the rapidity of, you know, moving so much training online so quickly, you know, us working with the, you know, awarding world, trying to create, you know, assessments that can happen in a virtual way. Even the government thinking about, you know, creative ways of trying to keep, you know, encouraging people to recruit apprentices through all the incentives and so forth that they've put in place. You know, people have really pulled out the stops. So, you know, I really don't underestimate how challenging it has been, and there's been some pretty dark days along the way, but I really think the sector deserves a massive round of applause for how it's responded. So it's great to celebrate some of that, I think, in National Apprenticeship Week as well.
Yeah, no, 100%. We've had the recent long anticipated white paper, or the Skills for Job white paper. Did you want to maybe reflect on some of the things which are in the white paper, particularly what sort of things are there of really, can you see when you're panning for gold and can see the future, what is there in there which has really made you sort of really hopeful and really excited about what's in the paper? Some of the stuff we knew was coming already, but there's some stuff which once you sort of literally pan for gold in there, it's like, ooh, this could be really quite interesting. So I'll be really interested in your take as to what you see in the white paper, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think from an institute's perspective, we're absolutely delighted with the white paper. You know, it signals a direction of travel, I think, that, you know, we've been on for some while at the institute, which is all about, you know, putting employers at the heart of the skills system. Making sure that the offer that is, you know, provided by further education colleges and other post 16 providers really meets the needs of employers, and in so doing, it better serves learners and apprentices, because they're being better prepared for the world of work. They're being better trained for the jobs that employers want to offer. So, you know, we really see that, you know, the white paper is baking that role for employers into the skills system, kind of really embedding it, is great. You know, this idea that we're going to have a much more coherent system, employers underpinning all of the, you know, the whole suite of vocational technical qualifications, we think is a really positive thing for the future. I think the other things that I thought were great in it, in particular, all of the stuff on sort of teacher training, improving the initial teacher training for people in the FE workforce, a real focus on CPD and the importance of continuing CPD, and you know, I think it is important for the department to kind of take a bit of a systems look at this, because you know it's such an important, you know, the FE sector is so important for the future of the economy, you know, for social mobility, for us coming out of the pandemic in good order, that, you know, we do need to think about this in a more strategic way. So thinking about those sorts of things, you know, have we got the right capability, capacity? Are we supporting the sector to develop professionally and to, you know, to keep pace with industry developments? Because, you know, the employers need to change all the time, you know, and that means that, you know, trainers need to kind of keep up with that, you know. It's if we're going to make sure that we're supplying people into those jobs that can really do them and really fly. So I thought it was a really encouraging paper, because it really sort of signals a positive direction of travel, I think, from our perspective.
Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree. That final section of the white paper, it's big, but it's all around the delivery workforce, the operational sort of. It shows a lot of thought has gone into it. It's one thing being, you know, high level strategic, but you need to have people that actually can deliver this. And I think a recruitment drive, a CPD drive, you know, underpinning, supporting the sector, I think is great. And it's really cool that you've picked that up as something which you say is the main highlight. You know, a lot of people are focusing on, I mean, college business centres could be absolutely epic. You know, it could be amazing where, I don't know, the high street's changing. Do you put, you know, college business centres in the high street? Do you make them sort of, we have live work units, could they be a hybrid work learn unit? I don't know, but I think what's really interesting is the way we're going to need to support the sector to move forward. Like, you know, the digital transformation has been huge, isn't it, in a year? Mm-hmm. But what's the future going to be? Augmented reality, virtual reality, how do we then get people to be delivering that? So that's great.
But the reason, Gavin, I pull out the sort of the teacher training piece, the CPD piece, is because, you know, this is all about, you know, the reforms are all about quality at the end of the day. And, you know, it's not enough for my organisation to work with employers to set, you know, really, you know, high standards for training and high standards for skills if we're not simultaneously upskilling the people who are going to train young people to do these jobs. You know, it has to be part of the package. So for me, that's a really important bit. And business centres are very exciting. That's lovely. And it's great. And it would be great to see how they take off and how they evolve. But I think there's something that's so fundamental about completing the sort of suite of trying to improve technical education, which goes beyond the standard setting piece and goes into, you know, how do you get people in a position where they can really genuinely train people to do these things.
Yeah, no, 100%. I've got my final question for you, and it's a bit of a personal one, really, is we hear so many stories around what it's meant for learners, what it's meant for delivery staff, what it's meant for your teams to adapt. But we often don't hear that sort of the stories of leaders, of what that's meant for them, of going through this pandemic, of seeing what's going on around them and how to respond and sort of bring your teams together and also be able to deliver it for the wider. What's it been like for you to lead in the pandemic? What's it been like to be able to actually come up with the flexibility, deliver it, make it happen? You know, how has it been for you?
So that is a good question, Gavin. Thank you. I mean, you know, I sort of joined the Institute as chief executive back in November 2019, I think. And, you know, when you go through a sort of recruitment process for a job like this, it takes forever. You know, there was a lot of hurdles to get through. I thought for a long, long time about the job, what I wanted to do with the job, what my priorities were going to be coming in and all that sort of stuff. And so I started, you know, got my feet under the table just before, in the run up to Christmas, came out of the, you know, Christmas and into the new year. And it was almost very quickly into this pandemic. So I was absolutely, and then who was expecting the Spanish Inquisition? You know, I was not expecting to lead the organisation for a year whilst basically working from my corner of my sitting room, you know. But then who, you know, what other leader it was expecting to do that? So it's not a kind of woe is me. It's like, you know, this is what you have to do, isn't it? So I think the real challenges were really about how do I hang on to the things that I thought going into this were really important for the Institute to do and keep motoring with those while simultaneously kind of being responsive and agile to the crisis that was before us. And I'm so pleased to say I've got such a good team around me. They've been fantastic, you know, really creative, have really kind of completely got what it is that we're here to do and the you know, the need to genuinely respond, not only be seen to respond, but to genuinely think about, you know, actually we've got these great products. If we do nothing, people won't be able to complete their apprenticeships. You know, we've got to think about the learners at the end of the day here. So what can we do? And some very, very rapid work obviously took place to kind of turn all that around. So it is all credit to the folk in the Institute that they've managed to do all of that. But definitely a massive learning curve. You know, you realise what you can do in times of high dudgeon, don't you?
Yeah, no, very, very much. And I think you answered that really graciously as well. Everyone is very much reliant on each other across the whole sector, aren't they? You know, from the leader to the learner, it's all around the sector coming together, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that's really come to the fore that probably wasn't on my, you know, the top, absolute top of my list, that is now top of my list, is this whole question about kind of well-being and, you know, looking after, you know, people's health, you know, and it's been hard for everybody, you know, whatever your circumstances, whether you're, you know, living on your own at home and you're having to work, or you've got kids and there's no school, or you've got elderly relatives. In different ways, everyone's had their own kinds of challenges, and to try to, you know, encourage the organisation to be as, you know, really kind and supportive as possible, so that, you know, everyone feels that they can be open about, you know, I'm having a really terrible day here, or whatever it is. And know that people are going to lean in and support them, I think has been really important. And it's been really nice actually to see how, you know, people in the Institute have done that. They've been really marvelous with each other, you know, really leaning in and making sure that their colleagues are okay. And we're nonetheless, we're keeping the kind of handle cranking on all of the important work that we've got to do.
Yeah, no, it's great. I think it's a really, really good way to sort of end the podcast as well, is around National Apprenticeship Week. And yes, the apprentice does become, you know, sort of key focus for National Apprenticeship Week. But I think it's the whole sector is really, as you said, supported each other, come together. And I think hopefully when we are able to be, yeah, whatever the new normal is, or whatever that is ever could be again, is that we would all be, you know, much more unified and together. And I think that's a really great way to look at National Apprenticeship Week this week. But what does it mean in the years to come, and how can we all be together? Jennifer, I just wanted to say thank you so much for your time today. It's been a real pleasure to me drink coffee, you drink tea, and have a chat around National Apprenticeship Week and what this year has been, and what the future could be. And the future looks bright. And I just want to say thank you for your time today.
Good to talk to you, Gavin. Thanks for having me on.
No worries at all.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Why not click subscribe so you can be informed when the latest next individual podcast or podcast mini series from FE News are going to be released?